Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 15th on the West Coast, now December the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And amongst all those listeners listening in on BBSRadio.com, I would also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. A lot of really strange news coming out today, and really, we could go back 100 years as far as that goes. But today was very almost predictable. The trial of Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin has been proceeding along. He has been quickly found guilty on three counts of disobeying a military order, disobeying a presidential order requiring the military doctor to serve in Afghanistan, to be deployed in Afghanistan. He's challenging the no-legged Mac Daddy's status as a U.S. citizen, and rightfully so. And already this case is taking on characteristics of another PSYOP. He pled guilty to three charges, and one was dropped. Of course, he didn't actually present a defense, and so far he stands to serve 18 months in prison. It's typical. It doesn't matter if it's in the civil courts or military court-martial. They play the game that they have to play because they want to basically put their jackbooted feet on one's head and hold you to the ground. And, of course, I'm using semantics there. We don't know that that actually happened, but it might as well have happened. And there is a tremendous amount of disinformation coming out in regard to that, because they bring out the other cases that were intentionally there, in my opinion, to cloud the situation of the no-legged Mac Daddy's lack of a certificate of live birth. And we have a complicit Congress that knows about this. All the law enforcement agencies and all of the various branches of the military are quite aware of this as well. And still this travesty goes on. And that brings me to the point of tonight's show and where most people's consciousness is. A lot of people have lost their jobs, and yet they're touting the recovery of the economy. It's ridiculous what's going on. We'll probably talk about that tonight when we bring on our guests. But first, I want you to listen closely, because I'm going to sort of mirror where I see most Americans today, whether they're working or whether they're watching TV. Well, let's try this again here, because that wasn't supposed to. Here we go.
What happened to all the fun in the world?
Larry's not with us anymore. He went on, you know. Yeah. He bit the big one. Well, he's got his own little piece of head.
Much about dancing, that's why I got this song. One of my legs is shorter than the other, and both of my feet's too long. course not right along with them. I got no natural rhythm, but I go dancing every night, hoping one day I might get it right. I'm a dancing fool. I jump out of my seat, but I can't compete, cause I'm a dancing fool. Dancing fool. Dancing fool. The disco folks all dressed up like this fit to kill. I walk on in and see them there, gonna give them all a thrill. When they see me coming, they all steps aside. He has a fit while I commit my social suicide. I'm a dancing fool.
Dancing fool.
Dancing fool.
I'm a
dancing fool.
Dancing fool.
Dancing fool. The beat goes on and I go, whoa, whoa. The beat goes on and I'm so, whoa.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. I got it all together now with my very own disco clothes. Hey, my shirt's half open to show you my chain and the spoon for up my nose. I am really something, that's what you'd probably say. So smoke your little smoke, drink your little drink, while I dance the night away. I'm a dancing fool.
Hey, darling, can I buy you a couple of drinks? Looking for Mr. Goodbar? Here he is.
Wait a minute, I've got it. You're an Italian.
Huh? You're Jewish?
Oh, love your nails. You must be a Libra. Your place or mine?
Well, that's my outlook on America right now. With that, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest. He is a frequent guest here on Evident Footprints and many other shows, both on mainstream radio as well as on internet radio. He is a polymer chemist. He is a chemtrail opposition researcher, an author, and tonight's guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you, Don, and your listeners. It's great to be back on. And that song certainly did remind me of a lot of things. It was like a fast forward. It sounded like that same group that you sang, Sugar Shack, there for a little bit.
Well, the B-52s.
B-52s. And then
the Love Shack?
The Love Shack. And at the beginning, that girl laughing. I knew a woman that laughed just like that once. I mean, that's the way she used to laugh. And it was like you would hear her laugh and you would just like, what was that? What kind of bird was that? Anyways, it's great to be with you. Good song to intro this day, I can assure you, because it had about as much idiocy that today had. If just take a look around and look what this thing called our Congress had done. Oh, my goodness. It's just one of those things. We'll just keep it off the table if you like.
Yeah. Well, you know, the of course, we were listening to Frank Zappa and Dancing Fool there in the end. And the first little clip with the explanation about Larry was, whoever Larry is, was called Whatever Happened to All the Fun in the World.
Oh, I like those one-liners.
Oh, it just, it hit me kind of funny. That, and I had that queued up to play. And when I hit the start button, it went to the next song. So I had to restart it three times till I got it right. It's been that kind of day.
Well, hey, I just wanted to tell you, you know, you've had some really outstanding shows this week. I think I told you that on the phone. I was just really engrossed in a lot of the discussions that you've had. As I said, there's one thing that I now know. It's that your guest and you don't preach, you teach. I love that. And I think there's a lot of people that would agree with that. You don't preach. That's the thing that really, in fact, because most that preach right now are hypocrites. So, you know, just teach us. Teach us all these things, because I think that's what your show is about. I really do, Don.
Well, preachers make a lot of money, and, you know, they get these big tax breaks, and they have big congregations that follow them, and they fall, you know.
Yeah.
Many of them fall, you know.
Yeah, certainly do.
I think it's by design, but that's a whole different topic anyway.
All 501c3s.
Yes. I thought of playing Herbie Hancock's Chameleon tonight because we're dealing with chameleons. You know, we're dealing with reptiles.
Anytime you get snakes or lizards of the same scale, in fact, they will moan and wail alike.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a lot of them today. I was watching C-SPAN from time to time, and I couldn't. I was in there earlier, and there was Nancy, Nazi Pelosi, in fact, glorifying them repealing the Homosexual Act. I don't even want to give it its name because none of it's respectful anyways. But well, that's what this was like, all about.
That sounds like something bordering on X-rated just by what you called it.
Well, it should be. But all
is that
this,
what it's called? I guess.
Well, it's either tax and spend or don't ask and don't tell, one of the two.
Yeah.
So this is about is homosexuality. All of it is about that. You know, I said it a long time ago. These minions, in fact, are inbred homosexual Satan worshippers. I rest my case. Just look at what they were glorifying today. Mm. Oh, yeah, we passed that bill. Well, anyways, today I caught Nambia Man or Nambula Man, Barney Frank on there. Just look at him. If that's not a reptile, what is that? If that's not a reptile man, no, perish that thought. Don't think of it that way. But anyways, it was one of those strange days. It's continuing to escalate into all these other things. We don't know. I listened to Dr. Ott's show this evening, and I thought that was very apropos for the time because everybody's just a little confused. This is the type of information I think that we must have, because I think we've all been thinking about that plan B. And incidentally, I do want to talk to you individually about that, a plan B, you know, but you can't say anything on the air because they're always listening, you know. So I'm not going to tell you any secrets because we don't believe in secrets, do we?
No, we don't. I have to say, that again is a topic that we covered pretty recently this past week. I've brought that issue up.
Yes.
You know, you ask, why do things have to be secret? They tell us, for security. This is our security. This is national security. It's a national travesty is what's going on.
Yes. If we ever emerge again Don, into a world where we have a nation. It's not going to be the same. We will see to it that they don't have phrases and give honor nor respect to something called classified nor top secret. None of those things, in fact, apply anymore to this United States, because that's part of the problem. They've, in fact, contained these secrets about so many topics. And, of course, you have talked about many of these things on your show, and of course, Truot in his show, and so many more of these internet radio programs and broadcast radio, same thing. They're talking about it now. We can't go down this path anymore. I mean, the trail ends here. The trail ends, the chemtrails end, everything ends. That's the day I look forward to. I look forward to a nation where we, in fact, can not to put in all the eloquent things about peace and everything, but there's so many people around this world that are just sick to death of things called war. We don't need war. We know who causes war, thanks to some of the teaching that you have done yourself. We've listened very closely. The reptilians and the Zeta banks and all these others, in fact, they in fact have done this for thousands of years, caused the wars. Why? Well, because they lust after these trinkets and these gold things and these diamonds and these things that they consider that has value, and they've got zero value. They might have intrinsic value, but then again, they don't worship paper, but they worship those trinket type things. We're not going to have a world like that. We need to do things differently, and I want to, in fact, take a page from a friend of yours, General Jeremiah. I want to find out how they do it other places, because that's got to be the way it has to go. It can't survive. The world can't survive with these reptiles, in fact, pulling the strings constantly and lying to us, and all their other classic signatures that they, in fact, they utilize. Just turn the TV on. I'll assure you, make you a good bet that within 5 seconds, somebody's going to lie to you. Oh, it's a drug commercial? They're lying to you. Just listen to their disclaimers. So we've got to have a different place. I look forward to that.
Yeah, we've been tackling this topic of consciousness and waking up and realizing what's going on. I can see people trying to do that. You know, we get a lot of email from the listening audience, and they're out there digging through stories. And there's this intentional mailing and remailing of stories. I brought this up on Drew Rain's show on Monday. These stories circulate over and over again. There's another email that circulated again today about a girl missing in the state of Missouri. Several years ago, this came out. She'd been missing for 2 weeks. And this email comes out again as an Amber Alert. And everybody's sending it out to everybody else. And, you know, the intention is right, but these people are behind the eight ball several years, so they're getting swept up in this pattern of releasing disinformation. You don't really even know that the original story was true. They put a picture of a girl up there on a page, and they create a story. Everybody starts sending the email all over the place. Never hear another thing about it. And you have to ask yourself, what are people doing that they're spending all that time just sending emails to everybody?
You pointed that out in response to that. And I got to thinking, you're right about that. I can't remember the exact time or that little girl's name, but you're right about that. I mean, but there's been so many of them. There's been so many of them that, in fact, just, like, disappear. But that tells me one thing. Since you pointed that out today, this is just a regurgitated story, it's designed, the intent is to pull your heart out, thinking that the evil is out there and they're stealing these little children. Well, that's got to be their only intent, just to continuously gnaw at your sensitivity about all these things, especially young children. They just want to gnaw at that. You know, the surface came today that they found another foot or two. Was it Washington State washed up on the beach or Oregon? And then I was watching Fox News, in fact, talk about the area. And in fact, they said now they've found 10 feet. And for some reason, that just, I had to suppress laughing. I really did. I just couldn't. But I mean, they're talking about the, about individual feet from young, they said teenage age, children. So, young children. So I just got to think about that. You know, there's got to be some reason why they would put such a macabre, grisly thing at the top of the broadcast. I mean, just to add to the to desensitize those listening, just to think about just how far down we have gotten in any type of morality. And there's where this consciousness thing comes in.
They found 10 feet.
Found 10 feet. You know, you're just thinking, 10 feet. They didn't say if it was always the left or the right. I don't know.
Did they get the feet inside the door or?
That's what I said. I had to suppress those jokes and some kind of respect for the ones that lost them. And I thought about that again when you were playing that song about the dancing fool. And for some reason, that flashed across my mind again.
I know there's millions of people that watch Dancing with the Stars, and you have to ask yourself, first of all, why do we have to be tortured with that? If we're going to be mind controlled and can't turn off the TV, why would anyone have to be tortured with a show like that?
I don't think I've ever watched that show. I don't watch stuff like that. I really don't. I watch the news, but no, I heard what you said last night. I broke that habit a long time ago, but there are others in our families that in fact don't. They're on the opposite side of the pole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made the comment about the couches seem to have their own gravity.
Yeah.
Because it always sets in front of the TV. So.
It's an addiction. And
it is.
It's amazing to watch people going through television withdrawal. Those that say, "Well, I'm going to try to do this," and I broke it down in my explanation last night and said, "Don't try to do it for a month until you can do it for 1 hour. Go for an hour, then go for 2 hours, and a good time to start is when the news comes on. Really, you know, because like you said, it's all macabre. It's about death and destruction and accidents and fear. And then what do you get with the commercials? Drug commercials, one right after the other. Are you suffering from this? Are you suffering from that? Before you get this, talk to your doctor. Most people can't get their doctor. They can't get their doctor on the phone. They can't get their doctor to answer email. They're hardly ever in their offices.
Or it's the Geico lizard, one of the two.
No, but this is like embark upon this mission here. Go get a hold of your doctor and ask him what would happen. Are you a candidate for Alzheimer's? Or, yeah. You know, it's crazy.
It is. It is.
And if it's not that, it's the world's best vacuum cleaner. They reinvent these things every couple of weeks. They have another vacuum cleaner that comes out.
or something like that. No, the point is, it's the crass commercials, commercialism that they don't need to invent anything new. As you said, they can just regurgitate something and sell it all over again. They do that with spending bills. They do that with all these things. They just regurgitate the same thing. And it's not that the American public falls for it every single time. Quite frankly, we never have a voice nor a say. in any of this. It just continues as if it's a machine. We know that it is. It's a very dark machine. I just think that when it comes to consciousness, I think that there's something that the HD wave does to, in fact, to extract that. I think it pulls you so far into a dimension. I just had somebody wrote me today, and he said, hey, did we lose a day this week? And he was serious. He was absolutely serious. He said, it's just like, no, he said, it is a special piece of computer equipment. And he said, there's something wrong here. He said, because his piece of computer equipment said that we lost a day this week. Well, then you have to stop and think about it. How many times have I had that same thought? Many, many, many. So it is possible that, in fact, we can not be, it, maybe it's not really the day that we think it is. Maybe there's been something supplemented here, and we just don't understand that. It's this time thing. Who knows, Don? But consciousness, as I said, I enjoyed your show very, very much last night with Michael Anthony. Mm-hmm. And I think that these are the types of topics that needs to continuously be at least considered and pondered by most people, in especially this time, because there's nothing out there to supplement your brain, not right now, unless it's of some type of drug or some type of addiction, some type of vice. There's got to be more than that. So what is soothing? Just having a warm, conscious thought, no intentions, not to sell you something, as you said. But we are chronically hit with this impulse, this compulsion to go buy something. But you got to go buy something. No, I don't like buying stuff. I really don't. I just do not like buying stuff. But I've got to, like everyone else. But it's just that it's not an art at all. It's this thing that we've got ingrained into our psyche, our very fiber of our being, that ever since we've been around, you've got to buy something. Buy something, in fact, because, well, that's what makes the world go around. This eco-capitalism makes the world go around. So it just continuously gets worse and worse and worse. But we don't recognize it. It is literally the frog in the warm water.
The boiling frog, as they call it.
The boiling frog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we went down the path we have, and we've done this on many shows, actually. I had the chance with Truant to sort of just improvise, ad lib on some topics, and we got into, discerning what we're seeing, discerning what we're hearing. Bless their hearts, there are those that really don't care. They're very apathetic. Mm-hmm. They're indifferent to what's around them until they can't buy, till they have that pressure on them that they have no money and they can't buy, or they have the money and the stores are closed, or they have the money, the store is open, but they don't have the thing that they've determined they have to buy. And so people struggle with these illusions. It doesn't, fulfilling material desires doesn't make you know yourself. It doesn't make you a better person. And it certainly affects your perceptions as to what's going on. And so you don't see things clearly. You're always attached to the physical in an emotional sense. It's either that you have an abundance or you have a complete lack. There's no happy medium that, yeah, you go out and buy food unless you can grow it. Well, they're going to outlaw that. They're going to outlaw that. Well, then you've got to stop and ask yourself the question, what kind of country is this? What kind of government is this? What kind of game is this? If they're telling you you're here and they'll tell you whether or not you can eat.
What kind of government is this? This is a government of reptilians.
Okay. That answers a question. Okay. So it seems that there are those that sincerely care to know, and this is a heavy topic for a lot of people, even those patriots out there. Oh, you can't talk about people from other planets or beings from other planets, because you'll be crazy. They'll take you for crazy. Then why do they attack us? Why do they try to silence us? Why do they disrupt what we do? Why can't they just allow us to be crazy? We have plenty of people like that on TV. Plenty of people that are always acting crazy.
And they call it lunacy?
Or they call it comedy. Or they call it politics. Government. Education,
all the same thing.
Religion. Business. You know, the insanity that we see, the raping of the planet and its inhabitants whatever the planet has to offer, its minerals, its energy, its ecosystem, its nature.
It's humans.
And it's humans. Of course, there is no regard for anything that's alive on this planet, unless it's evil, unless it's demonic. That's where they focus their energy.
Right.
Why do those beings, if they're so all-powerful, why do they fear what we say? Why do they operate out of fear? Why is the system that they control everything with based upon fear? That's all
they know. They fear that we in fact will say something. It's not that we're convincing, it's just that all of a sudden there might be a little crack in that person's ability to consider something. Just consider it. Consider something that in fact coming from people that in fact are not trying to sell them a thing. This is not something that's for sale. It's not a new age. It's not a cult. It's nothing more than what truth is, and truth has been so twisted and bent, it would just take a major forging effort to, in fact, to straighten that back out in most cases. So when it comes to truth, most people don't recognize it because it's so twisted and bent. However, when you're talking about other places, I think I've said this before in your show, Don, and do I ever give you praise and credit for, in fact, making it so apparent to me and so many other people here, humans, that there is an astounding galaxy here. It's called the Galaxy of Hendon. I didn't know that. I go back to being an amateur astronomer back when I was just a Cub Scout. You remember the Cub Scouts? Oh, I was in the Boy Scouts. Yeah, I got my first telescope. Yeah, I got it for Christmas one year. Oh, I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I remember as just a young boy thinking, "There's got to be somebody out there," and we would sleep out in the backyard underneath the stars because you could do stuff like that back then in the '50s. But it's just so apparent now that I was right even back when I was just a young man, just a young child, that there are the galaxy is abundantly full and populated with beings just like me. The humans, in fact, are created in God's image, created in His image. So I call them humans made in His image kind. That's the distinction that separates me and you from all these other hybrid beings that we now know are here. This is what they don't want us talking about. Oh, I mean, there'll be somebody that will kick you off somebody else's radio show and close them down if, in fact, you dare recite those types of words, because that's crazy. Okay, now you know who it is that those people, in fact, more than likely represent. And in fact, you know what their intentions are, but that doesn't quiet us down. But it's just this galaxy here, the Galaxy of Hendon. I was told it was the Milky Way, But then I met a guy by the name of Don Nikoloff who very easily expressed things in such a way that even I could understand them. From this other human, General Jeremiah, man, I'm impressed. I really am. I can't wait to meet him in his 15-foot-long starship one of these days. But if I ever am so blessed to do that. But he comes from a place, I mean, he's now with a place they call Balqui. And I can bet you I've said that word 1,000 times already, Don, ever since I've heard it. But here's what dawned on me one day. Wait a minute. If God created everything in the universe, all the galaxies and all inhabitants of everything, of course he did. Did he also, in fact, populate that universe, this galaxy and that universe, with beings just like me, humans?
The best he could come up with was politicians.
Oh, you know, well, in the whole of no, universe. God makes no junk. He makes no mistakes. But because they're all part of that ones that I just got done telling you about, the hybrid societies. But of course he populated all these places amongst other types of beings with humans, made in his image kind. We inhabit the surface. Of course he did. He wants to look at us. He wants to look at our hearts. He wants to look at our nature. And he gives us free will to do all this stuff. I know I sound maybe like Michael Anthony sounded last night, but that is absolutely the truth. It needs no forging any further. That is the truth about the entire universe. The day that dawned on me, it almost brought me to tears. I just gave thanks to God that I was able to realize, of all the stuff I've learned in my life, that was a moment that I'll never forget. And that was the day that I, in fact, started thinking about that word moment. It occurs instantly across the universe. There are no time zones. So anyways, Don, I'm just trying to show you verbally as much appreciation because you led me that way, because it's so obvious that the entire universe is populated with our kind, made in his image, humans, and other beings. There are, of course, God created all beings. He created all life forms. And there's we, in fact, come to an abrupt discernment where the line is drawn, because these hybrids that are here, I'll just be polite and call them hybrids tonight, but we know
you
who
mean
they are.
Reptilians?
Well, but it's not just reptilian. It's the Zeta Greys, it's the Small Greys, and the Drax. Okay, and that's just three of them. Now, that's just three of them, and then we know the reptilians, in fact, were here before mankind was on Earth. That's what I now understand, and I do, in fact, have faith in that. Does that mean that they belong here? Well, sure they do, but they belong in the ground, and I understand that they're probably going to be heading that way one of these days. I hope they do. Matter of fact, some of them that you know that are politicians, in fact, they don't know it yet, but their ticket to ride is no good. They're not going anywhere. They in fact, will take them out and probably eat them and their family before they ever make it underground. There's the sadness of it, because they, too, have been manipulated and tricked into thinking they'll do all this junk to us and, in fact, try to get us in the slaughterhouse, as you will. Well, whether they do or whether they didn't is whether they don't, in fact, it remains to be seen. But the key point here is all these beings that are here as well, they're not really human. They don't have a lot of biological life form in them. The Zeta Greys, in fact, are from a virus. That's why they've never found out what their DNA is, because they have a virus. Then I find out that, in fact, they're extremely radioactive. Well, wait a minute. They're radioactive and they're like a virus? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They smell real bad, too.
They smell real bad, and that suit that they got, that is a suit. Man, that is that's like a Ziploc bag, I guess, you know, because you couldn't. But I guess the point is they're here also, but are they of God's creation? I draw the line there and saying that God created them as well. But I have to believe that God was the creator of all things that are living. But I already know that they're not really alive. They're a pseudo-life form. I mean, does a virus have life? Well, does it reproduce? No, it replicates. So this is this pseudo-life form, and I think that that's the other portion of them. But they do have human involvement in that. And I wrote about that a couple years ago. I just took a shot at it. This is the Star Children, but that's just the Zeta Grays, and that's the pointy heads, and that's throughout our governments across this planet. That's the administrators. And then you get the Trogs, the Drax, and then these reptilians. I mean, they're incestuous, inbred, homosexual Satan worshippers. You can cut that any way you like. Most of them, in fact, are grown and hatched. They're not really reproduced. But that's what they despise about us, is that we, in fact, can have love in our hearts and reproduce. That's the two things they cannot do. They cannot reproduce, and they cannot have love in their heart, because they don't have a soul. They're demonically possessed.
Yeah.
So they're just on this drive. You know, you remember the commercial, "We Are Driven"? There you go. They're driven. And I just hope they drive themselves right straight down into the ground, which it looks like they're going to be doing. Going to be a big battle. I mean, we're not worthy of being in a war. Only one is going to have a war. Only one is worthy to have a war. Not us. We can be in the battles, but we can't be in the war.
Yeah. The media touts this mantra of spreading democracy. And as we spread democracy, how many million are killed in each place we take democracy? And they say that those are the casualties of war. But it's war. It isn't democracy. In the sense that they want us to understand the word, where everybody has a voice and their voice counts. And so if the people say, no, we don't go to war, democracy says we don't go to war. No, that's out of the picture. See, what we're experiencing here now in this country is akin to what other countries have experienced, where there have been a massive slaughter of millions of people, systematic, senseless slaughter of people. And for the most part, no one paid the price. Even at the end of World War II, they hung a few people. They maybe a couple of dozen, and most of those were stand-ins for the real criminals who they let go.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler escaped. Hitler eventually made his way to the United States, of all places. And many have awakened to that fact. Many.
And thanks to you and your research and Dr. Ott's research, yes, that's very apparent. And many others, I might add. I don't have their names. But, of all places. Yeah, they bring him here under paperclip. They bring him here, and him, not only him, but Mengele. Mengele is still alive, as I understand. But Hitler, Hitler still wasn't at the top of the pyramid. I mean, you still have this demon-possessed soul over in Germany. What's his name? Rothschild? You know, there's a pinnacle for you. And the queen. Yeah, the queen. The one they've got there now. Yeah, she's and the 13 families total. That is at the top of these ones that we're speaking of, homosexual, inbred, Satan worshippers.
Mm-hmm.
So just with that phrase alone, what do you suppose this world might have in store for it, as long as they, in fact, think that they're in control? I'd perish that thought and spend my time thinking about the things that we're talking about right now. There are other ways of existing. There are other ways of living with one another, because there's a whole lot more humans in this world than there are those and their minions. So many more. And we, in fact, are escalating our consciousness. That's the only way out, Don. That's why I appreciate so much you talking about it.
You know, with all the history that we have, whether it's true or not in its entirety, about the founding of this country and the fact that the founding fathers are alleged to have come here to escape the tyranny of the king, King George the Third, and that we still, through the media, worship royalty. These people get some special consideration because of their bloodline. Since when do people care about that? Or what kind of beings concern themselves only with bloodline?
Right.
That goes into the whole issue of all the secrecy behind the scenes, and that they can make ridiculous statements. That a guy, how the hell does Dick Cheney know he's related to Obama when Obama hasn't shown a soul his certificate of live birth? How does he know that? Has he seen it? Come on, Dick, tell us. Where is it?
Yeah, Dick. Dick, was your test tube that you were hatched in right beside his, or over in New Guinea, or what? Tell us, Dick.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And the people eat this like cotton candy at a ball game.
Right.
They don't question how it was made, where it came from. That all these people can be related to each other. What they're really telling you is they're all reptilians. They're all shapeshifters. That's what they're telling you.
And you proved that.
You've
proven this time after time after time. So once you catch on to what you're looking at, and then you tell me a couple times, but look at this picture, and I do, and it's just like, I would have never have seen that unless there had been some sort of suggestion put into my mind, because I had seen it before, but I just casually dismissed it, probably like most other people, you know? But once you catch on, anymore I can just turn the TV off, and I'll no more than turn it on, then I'll turn it back off, because I just seen one. And especially if it's that one that's in the White House, I refuse to look at him. I refuse to hear his voice. And I don't want to hear what he had to say, or in fact, even read what he had to say. I am no respecter of him as actually being a human. So be as it may, they call him president. Well, they can call him any name they want, but that's not one that's going to roll across my lips. I'm no respecter of him, period, or his minions. I've called them Democrats so many times, it's like I can't help it. But just look. I mean, just look at them. They're driven, in fact, almost in a frenzy to pass these bills that are directly a direct dichotomy to what the will of the good people of the good people and the bad people of this United States, in fact, will tolerate, and they know that, but it's like they're just going to stick the funnel up their man and shove it down. They don't care what you've got to say. The Republicans, or I've called them Republtilians many a times, because many of them are reptilian Republicans. I can name them off, many of them, but be it as it may, this is the way they operate. But still, the ones that are still at least genuine, they still will not lift a finger to stop this. Where's the congressional master of arms? The first time somebody calls that master of arms that is in office and, in fact, has somebody put under immediate arrest or puts a warrant in their hand for saying some of the things that they said on the congressional floor or the Senate, and it's a warrant for treason, high treason. Oh, but see, they flipped that. They flipped that, and now they want to get this WikiLeaks guy for being treasonous. When, in fact, the only way it was just like the underwear bomber. The only reason they put that guy, that psyop through there, in fact, was to do just that, to paralyze our ability to, in fact, say what we want to say, because they know the Internet is their Achilles heel as well. and they've got to shut it down. So here comes Hassan, this guy, in fact, stuff out. So, you know, I mean, but there's a lot of people that see that now.
I have to tell you, I have no interest in seeing what he's published. I really don't.
I don't either. Not one thing.
And I haven't looked at it, and I don't intend to, because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't stop us from doing what we have to do.
Right.
And we're doing reveal the truth.
Right.
If that's an honest to goodness leak of information that they didn't want out, more power to the guy. Because if it's truth that he's leaking, then people are going to find some truth. But it's too programmed. It's too planned to see it any other way. That it's just another psyop. It's right. Another psyop to, like you said, to scare people. It doesn't scare me. I'm still going to say it. Reptilian.
It's designed to shut the internet down and our form of communication with a lot of people.
Well, that's a pretty lousy reason to justify shutting it down, especially since they, you know, they're using it to gather data on everybody. They're making a lot of money with it too. All the CIA shell corporations that they have that are on the internet. Mm-hmm. And the Israelis don't want that either, because they're making too much money in the porn industry. You know, they won't shut it down. And if they do, so what? It's like not having it in the beginning. How did we survive before that? How did we survive?
Good question. I mean, my experience with the internet has been from the days of, let's see, about 1992. You talk about slow. I mean, dial-up. Remember dial-up? Well, it wasn't fun at all, but in earnest, I used the internet to do a lot of research back in the year 1998 and 1999 about this thing that we were calling chemtrails. So actually that's when I came on the scene with the internet, but it was still dial up. Wasn't fun, but I did get to talk to a lot of people that I would have never otherwise have ever came across or spoken to or shared information or a meeting of the minds and that type of thing. So there's good and bad with everything, but in the case with the internet, if they in fact intend to shut it down, well, I guess they will. There's nothing we can do, I suppose. But you know, just throw in the film clip of the riots in Greece. you're going to shut the internet down? Well, that could happen, certainly. Because it becomes personal. A lot of people, in fact, have a lot to do with the internet.
Well, the internet, they addicted a lot of people to the internet and the things that the internet has to offer. So it's another dimension of addiction.
Well, it is. So, but the truth was also one of those addictions. There's a lot of people that discovered that you could get truth off the internet based on where you went. But then there was an equal proportion, if not disproportionate amount of, as you call it, BS and disinfo. And that seems to come through the thing. And there's people that, in fact, want to continuously disinfo everything. You told me about certain individuals wanting to get on your as a guest on your radio show. And Don, that is absolutely on the mark right there. That is on the mark, because they will do anything to dissociate good outlets of truth with this disinfo, and just they'll create a controversy, like I was talking about on True Show just Monday night. You know, the History Channel, they want to do a thing on chemtrails. No, they don't. They want to get this disinfo out there about chemtrails, but at the same time they want to promote something else, and that's just geoengineering. They're busy all the time trying to fabricate ways of pushing their toxic agenda.
Yeah, ways to trap people in the web, you know. Send this out. Send it to everybody. No, do it right now. It's important. The world's survival depends upon.
Right. If you don't send this out to at least 10 people, then you really don't love Jesus.
Yes.
Well, I got tired of hearing that one. I got tired of seeing that one, too.
Yeah.
Or you're a bad person.
You got to love this. The story starts, you got to love this. Oh. No, I don't have to love it.
And, you know, when somebody does send something out, there's something that just really irked me. You would be reading, you're getting ready to read what you know, they put a title on it, and, oh, it looks interesting. And then they, in fact, put enjoy. And it's like, why did you say that for? Why did you write that for? Why did you write enjoy for? Why didn't you just let me decide if I could enjoy it or not? Not instruct me to enjoy something. Please don't do that.
When I found something really insane, okay, and I said, enjoy. Because it's entertainment at that point, you see. This is and it's professing to be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I
heard you say the other night, well, entertainment, isn't that just distraction?
Yeah, it is.
It's just distraction.
Sure.
That's all it is. And most people welcome that type of distraction. I mean, from whatever it was that you were involved in. So is it entertaining? Yeah. It's entertaining, but you're absolutely right. It is a form of distraction because it pulls you to something that is probably scripted into something that's not. And quite frankly, it's we've been raised like that. We've been raised to enjoy entertainment. Now, there is a certain amount of enjoyment in it. Yes, I'm not a prude. But there is, and nowadays, it's just the crass commercials, the commercialization, the lies that goes into it. And it's like, no problem. Hey, you know, you're all drinking the same water. You're all drinking fluoride. You're all taking the same pharmaceutical drugs. They're equally as poisonous, if not more. But that's okay. Enjoy. Or call your doctor.
Yeah, you know, they drum up the fear. There's this fear factor that's constantly going on, especially amongst the elderly. They get sick, and they slow down, and they have aches and pains. And the doctor says, well, you got to have this shot now. You know, everybody's getting that. And they get sick anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get the shot, and you don't get sick. I mean, we exposed the scandal of the West Nile virus and SARS and all the bird flu and the swine flu.
Every single one of them.
You know, isn't that interesting that they would actually, with how they detest swine, both the Zionists and the Muslims, that they would promote such a thing as swine flu vaccines? You know, they would handle that stuff.
It's like chasing a vampire around with a ball of garlic, you know. Well, no, you did. You've uncovered all these things. One of these days, Don, I'm telling you, there's going to be some people going to be writing books about you guys. They really are, because you're so good at it. And I don't mean to just keep complimenting you, but I'm just trying to verbally express my appreciation for the things that you have done. I've not heard it a lot of other places. I've heard a lot of these people come on other radio shows, and yes, I get the same amount of information. Jeffrey Smith with GMO, I would have not known that. And I try to pass that information on, but see, it becomes a groundswell after a while. There's enough people that, in fact, say that, you know what, hey, maybe I had been drinking a little bit too much of that high fructose corn syrup. I'm really putting on some pounds. Hey, yeah, you looking. You know, but they got a diet pill. They got a diet program. You need to exercise. You got to do this. You got to eat certain. But see, the food is designed to make you obese. If it's got MSG or high fructose corn syrup or aspartame, and virtually everything does, including the drugs. So it's a system that is corrupting the human body, period.
Yeah,
but well, it's what we do. It's our way of life.
You remember back in 1973, and it was like in February of 1973, that they announced peak oil, and they had to raise the price of oil and gasoline, all the petroleum products, because we were running out.
Right.
So what does that have to do with raising the price? When you're out, right? You can't sell anymore. So what's the idea? Get as much money as we can with what's left.
That's all it was.
That's and we still didn't run out. We still haven't run out. But look at the price where it is.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we have more cars, more people, more pollution, and the solution is to raise the price, or to raise the price of medical care, or to raise the price of an education, or to raise the price of being on the planet, as if those that create these laws are exempt from all this. Well, they mm-hmm. make themselves exempt. When are the people going to wake up and to that reality?
Right. Create a shortage. Get your flu shot. We only got like just a couple dozen bottles left. Come down here and get your flu shot. You better get them while you can, you know. We don't know. We might not get any more. So, you know, but they've done the same thing. Being in the paint and the coatings industry virtually all my earlier career, I just remember DuPont. DuPont made titanium dioxide. They made a lot of it. They were premier in TiO2, used in white paints or any kind of coating that, in fact, had any whitening in it at all. They replaced basic white lead sulfate as a primary pigment because lead had this really toxic factor to it. Well, I work with a whole bunch of lead. Dibasic lead phosphite, and it was a kind of a white pigment, and basic, all the pigments, litharge, all the way down through that. Never hurt me. Of course, I didn't turn around and sample it or anything, but with asbestos, same thing. I'm not saying that I got away with it, but I'm just saying I always question the toxicity of these. But at the same time, DuPont came out with titanium dioxide as the premier whiting pigment for paints and coatings, whether it was oil-based or latex, either one. I formulated a lot of coatings.
Well, the issue about lead in paint wasn't because kids were eating it. I mean, stop and think. If they were eating it, maybe they knew something that we didn't know about the quality of the food they were getting. And they were looking for that lead kick, you know, to push them over the hump. It was a psyop to get people to stop blocking all the microwaves that they were bombarding people with. That's the whole reason.
Exactly. Okay. It could very well be.
If you've listened to Drew Raines when he uses his wireless headphones, he goes in one room and he loses his antenna.
So, you can actually hear him walk in the other room. Yeah. It's just like somebody walking into a cave, and it gets lower and lower and lower. So, what I was going to say about titanium dioxide and DuPont, they created that shortage. They would create a shortage. They've done this back in the 80s, create a shortage of titanium dioxide. Oh, you know, had that plant down there in Tennessee, and boy, you know, we got all this competition now. We got stuff coming over from overseas and McKesson Chemical and all. They create a shortage. What did the price of titanium dioxide do? It went straight up. Same thing. There's a shortage because they really can't make it. Their plants are all at capacity, so we got to raise the price, and they did. They've got the price of titanium dioxide just in a matter of years. Plus, now the people who distribute and sell it to you, in fact, have to go on allocation. You're going to have to go on allocation. It's another word for rationing. And if you don't buy some this year, if you don't buy a certain amount this year, well, then next year you're not going to be able to, may not be able to get any at all. They just put that fear-mongering out there. So you and Fi think you buy this titanium dioxide, and you put all your inventory monies into stuff that you don't need. For no reason whatsoever, the fact that this is the way they played the game. Mm-hmm. But next year, in fact, well, if you could get some, it's still going to be at least at a 200% increase over what you're paying for it the year before, because they don't sell it to you at the price that you ordered it at. They sell it to you at the price when they deliver it. See, so it's just the game of shortages.
This is like lyrics in a song, you know, and this is the song of the inbred. You know, just repeated over and over and over again. You know, like the old studio acetates that we used to make off of the We take the 2-inch recording tape, mix it down to a 1/4-inch tape, and then cut an acetate so that we could listen to what the record was going to sound like. And everything was backwards because of the fact that it's made from a platen that's going to transfer that onto vinyl. So that left channel is left channel and right channel is right channel. Well, when you're making that first acetate, everything is backwards. Everything is out of phase, and you have to make corrections for that. But that's what, isn't that what politics is? Isn't that what world government is? They tell us the opposite of what they do. They do the opposite of what they say.
Always 180 degrees.
Yeah. Before we end our show here, I want to dedicate a song to the inbreds. And here goes.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild 'cause he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild, and every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody! I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey! I'm my own grandpa.
And that's it in the nutshell right there. That's what we've been talking about for the past hour.
When you played this song the first time, I had to think about it a little bit. But you know what? That's exactly what we've been describing. Homosexual, inbred, Satan worshippers. How are they inbred? I don't know, but it seemed like they are because their brains aren't like ours. They don't work like ours. They're a little bit off kilter there. But they're like that all the time because they can't tell the truth. They just refuse to tell the truth. They got to lie.
They have to hide their motives.
They got to hide themselves. So it's just, well, anyways, that was kind of fun. But
it's the mild version.
Well, it's not a form of insanity that we're speaking of on our part. It's a form of insanity that is on their part, and they're the ones going to have to deal with that, not us.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to bear the responsibility of it. Karma is going to rear its head someday soon. Now, before we close, we didn't go into this topic of chemtrails and all this other stuff. We can do a whole week full of shows on that and still keep talking about it. But we are experiencing aberrant weather, and I'm encouraging the listening audience to become familiar with themselves. When you know yourself, you begin to tap into your own power, and it's a higher power. You don't have to. It doesn't require another person, just you. And what you will begin to see is what is really going on. And instead of being afraid of it, you know, when you grew up, ladies and gentlemen, your parents may have told you that there's a boogeyman that's going to get you, or a bogeyman. It's actually the proper pronunciation. And if you got out of your crib, the bogeyman was going to get you. Or if you went into the bathroom in the middle of the night, the bogeyman was going to get you. And that planted a seed in your subconscious mind that you never really dealt with, because there's all kinds of bogeyman that they've created in recent times. 10 years ago, they created one for the general masses called Osama bin Laden. And this guy disappeared off the face of the earth. He died. And they had to keep this bogeyman going. So they made up stories about him, and they put out audio tapes and made phony video. And everybody looked at the video and said, that's not him. Well, but still people didn't make this connection. Why are they doing that? Why are they showing us that? Well, that's sort of like the person that's being brainwashed saying, or asking the question, are you by any chance brainwashing me? It's okay if that's what you have to do. I just want to know. Okay. And then it's back to the TV. It's back to the beer and the potato chips or the soft drink, the diet drink filled with nerve poison. It never ends. Or it's the pharmaceuticals. It's the pursuit of possessions and material things that really aren't you. And they're offered to you. And yes, sometimes possessions have meaning. They have a use, a practical use, that can cause you to grow or to assist you in being creative or in being healed or healing others, helping others. But instead, so many choose this lazy path, this apathetic path of really misdirection or no direction at all. The pursuit of something that you can't see and you can't feel, but because you've been shown so many images accompanied by sounds to make you feel emotional about having this thing, that you pursue it. And it doesn't solve the problems. They never end up solving problems, all these things. The special shopping days. Oh, I have to go to the store on this particular Friday because they said there's a sale. And you have no idea how much more over the price of what it costs that you're paying to have that thing that you've saved up for so long, or that you have to buy your children to get them to shut up. Quit bugging you about having it, you see. Everybody is indoctrinated into that.
The slime of the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
The slime of the matrix, yeah. You know, the boogeyman, you were talking about Osama bin Laden earlier. You know what? If he is real, he's getting up there in years, and I heard that he probably got him a job down there as a greeter down at Walk Quida, you know?
Or Macy's. He's the next Santa.
Macy's? Well, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, he could be there. Could be just watching people. You know, well, anyways, I just thought it was interesting. The thought about, knowing oneself, that's not hard to do whatsoever. I assure you that if you, in fact, just do one thing, just one thing, and you talked about it last night, get away from that HD wave just for 5 minutes. You can find yourself, but you, in fact, just think about yourself. I think I said this on your show another time. Think about some time when you were, I don't care what you do today or what you've done before. Just think about when you were in your prime, okay? I don't care what the topic was, what the occupation was. Just think about it when you were really good, when you weren't in the process of hurting somebody else. You're in the process of achieving. Just think about that time. That's you. That's who you are. That's the person that you are.
And it's not about ego gratification.
It is not. It's just the opposite of ego gratification. Just the opposite of it.
That's what they sell you. You know, I was watching I have to say this. I was watching a commercial because I was waiting to listen to a politician. And, of course, you know, the obligatory commercial came on. And it was one of these cancer centers. Now, we know of several doctors, some are alive and some have passed on, who have dealt with the issue of cancer, and they've come up with cures for cancer. Mm-hmm. And we know that the FDA has harassed them, and some were imprisoned, probably were even contributed in some way to the murder of these people, at least tangentially. And it doesn't change the fact that they're still promoting radiation, chemicals that burn the body. They may burn the cancer, but it kills the person as well. Or people having their intestines removed, or their stomach removed, or their throat removed, or their ears, or their tongue, or, you know, there's some grotesque surgeries that go on to remove the cancer. And they go through chemotherapy. And on this commercial, this woman is talking about how much love and care she got from the people. And her doctor told her she didn't have an expiration date on a toe tag. And then they have this little crawl at the top of this picture. Results are not typical, and you shouldn't expect to achieve the same goal. Then why should you even consider going to these people? Now, do you know that this woman actually survived cancer? Do you know that she was treated at this place? Or is she just an actress reading a script? I mean,
knowing this world, I'll take B, whatever that last one was. Yeah. It's poisoning, slash, or burn. Take your choice. Well, actually, you don't really have a choice, because that depends on the specialist that might treat you. The oncologist that, in fact, makes the recommendations. Because all that, in my opinion, is so unnecessary, because it's been proven by so many people that they don't. None of those, in fact, will do anything significant. I mean, Elizabeth Edwards, in fact, just passed away. She went through all that, but she still passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when I think trying to
– 5 years survival after you go through chemotherapy.
Right.
And there are, goes into remission.
So. But there are things out there that are in the realm of being natural and, for the most part, foods. Not only can that, in fact, reverse the cancer, since you're not allowed to say cure, well, because they've got a patent on that, right? But you can reverse these things that, in fact, that are cancerous out of the body with food.
Why isn't curing ham a crime? They cure ham.
Well, because they didn't cut, slash, or burn it. Well, I don't know.
They cure tobacco.
They cure rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they cure a lot of stuff. Yeah, that's...
Of course, you have manicure.
Huh?
You have manicure, but that's just fingers. you know, it's a game. It's a mind game, is what I'm saying, you see? They never address the issue of what causes cancer, those that treat it, do they? They never do. Those, now I'm saying in the mainstream, because there are many people who are following homeopathic medicine, and there's a lot of research done on the carcinogens that people consume and what substances are carcinogenic, what to avoid eating. But those are the things intentionally being put into the food. So there should be someone culpable for creating the cancer, should there not?
Or drink water or breathe air. Same thing.
Yeah.
They have, in fact, completely adulterated and saturated our complete environment, land, water, and air, and everything that goes with it, with anchovies, as carcinogens, level one carcinogens. There's no question about it. They're not suspect. They're known carcinogens to humans, whether they, in fact, hurt anything else or not. They're known human carcinogens. But most of these individuals, in fact, are at the levels that the CDC and the FDA and the rest of those minions, and that's exactly what I think about them, because I know who they are. I see where they used to work, and they still do get a paycheck or some types of dividends or whatever from them. So it's the minions, guys, and they're just as corrupt as the day is long. So it's there's no question that cancer cure, yes, there are many. But they haven't promoted one yet that, in fact, will do anything significant enough that if you happen to get this thing called the cancer, that it will do anything to reverse you out of that, possibly in some strange cases, because as you just said it, they don't claim to, in fact, cure cancer. They put it in remission. They're going to make some money off you some other time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They, you know, they don't want to lose the customer. Once they have you, they want to keep you. There's a revenue stream, you see, and it supports.
It's an industry, Don.
Yeah, it supports lots of other shenanigans in the background. And if they can't do it to your body, they do it to your home.
Well, they do it to everybody. Well, anyways, we can point out so many things that are, in fact, unreasonable. And I don't even like the phrase fed up anymore because it reminds me too much of the word federal. So I'm not fed up. It's just that I've had it with all this stuff. I had it a long time ago, and I've been in this battle for a long time. In my life, I've been in the battle for a long time. I've never, in fact, grafted nor gravitated to the way these things are done, even before I ever knew the word chemtrails. But I've always been somewhat resistant to falling into the traps and some of these things that you hear coming out of academia and colleges and stuff. And I've met many a chemist that came out of college, and man, I thought, boy, they know some stuff. And PhDs and the whole other thing. And I'm in the laboratory working, and this PhD is, in fact, coming over to me, asking me to do this for him because he has no clue on what he should be doing, on how to make this polymer do this with what. I'm thinking, is he the organic PhD chemist? And I'm thinking, wow. But that was a long time ago. But, you know, I consistently went through my entire career building up my information of what I knew, in fact, was valid, what I knew was toxic, and how I could convert or get away from that by going to things that, in fact, were not made with those types of chemistries. So it's been throughout my career. I've never given in nor grafted, and then I started not believing them. So I'm well acclimated to knowing how they're poisoning us, and it's just the crudest, roughest, unbelievable chemist. And just a horrible chemist in the world. I mean, it's like the brains of William Teller, the mind of the A-bomb. These people are just like that. They're the same mindset. You mentioned that earlier. It's the same mindset. They've got no responsibility whatsoever for what they do, but they get their degrees paid for by being that way, by inventing all these bacterial forms that are sprayed in the air to make the rain, make the snow, and they spray that all over, and people are sick because of it. They even attach mycoplasmas and to fungal forms such as it just goes on and on, Don. And it's just like if you can't tell anybody about all this stuff because they're not going to believe you. I can write a paper, they can read it, but they're still going to deny that in fact was done on purpose. Wait a minute. Does it matter if they've done it on purpose or not? It's just that this what this world is. So there again, they lose because they're in that slime of the matrix. They're in the vacuum, and they'll never come out. So anyways.
Yeah, and they'll have to pay the price.
They, in fact, are going to own, whether they want to or not, they, in fact, are going to do the moaning and the wailing. They're going to be the scales of the same lizard that are going to be moaning and wailing one of these days. I just know that in my heart.
Yep. And that would be a perfect segue to Herbie Hancock's Chameleon, but we're out of time. So
okay.
I want to let the listening audience know that you'll be on the show Tuesday the 28th here on Evident Footprints, and I appreciate your input tonight. I just felt like I had to get away from all of this merry-go-round stuff, you know, this carousel of insanity. And we're still talking about it.
Yep.
But we're looking at it from outside the box. And just use a little bit of discernment, folks, and you can reclaim your power. You can remember who you are, and there's a lot of power that comes with that. And it's not based in fear. And if you've been living in fear, it's a great way to have a nice day tomorrow, is cast fear aside and realize that it's just an illusion. It's just another one of the many illusions that they throw at you. Mm-hmm. And so I want to thank you for being on the show, Dr.
Thank you, Don, and say good night and greetings to everyone, those on Balqui and the general and your listening audience, and thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Well, they're everywhere. They're not just on Balqui. So.
Well, that's the one that I can remember the name real easy.
All right. Well, you have yourself a good night, and as far as the show goes, I won't be talking to you on the show before Christmas, so you have a very Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, my friend. All good right. night.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. Michael Castle, and as I mentioned a moment ago, he'll be with us on the 28th of this month, so be sure to tune in for that show, as well as tomorrow night's show, where my guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. I want to thank those at Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints, and we appreciate the growing numbers around the world, and that's no understatement. Over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.